Good evening and welcome to St. Columba's for our Maundy-Thursday Holy Communion service. You follow the order of service as before you, which will proceed without announcement. We're delighted to welcome tonight the Reverend David Moore from Knock Presbyterian Church, who will be leading us in our prayers of intercession. And for your convenience, they're printed in the Pew News, along with the congregational responses. Throughout this Holy Week, it's been a great joy to welcome the Reverend Dr. James Harnish to our respective congregations, and he concludes his preaching amongst us this evening as he begins his journey back to Orlando later on this evening, and to say thank you for sharing with us and for leading us in our devotions. On this night, we come with Jesus and his disciples to the upper room and meet around the table at the Last Supper. This Passover meal becomes for us the sacrament of the Lord's body and blood, in which we feed on him by faith with thanksgiving. At the supper, Jesus reveals himself as the servant of all when he takes water and a towel and washes the disciples' feet, giving us an example of servanthood to follow. And at the end of the meal, we go out into the darkness of the Garden of Gethsemane in preparation for the day to come as we walk with him to the cross of Calvary. Of Holy Communion begins on page 201 in our prayer books. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. We kneel for the confession. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The collect for today, Maundy Thursday. God our Father, you have invited us to share in the supper which your Son gave to his church to proclaim his death until he comes. May he nourish us by his presence and unite us in his love, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The reading is from Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 35. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the ten heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." This is the word of the Lord.
Lord, your joy fills all our souls. The Holy Gospel is written in the 13th chapter of the Gospel according to John, beginning at the first verse. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it in the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, he put on his robe and had returned to the table. He said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. I am not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen. But it is to fulfill the scripture, 'The one who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me.' I tell you this now before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe that I am he. Very truly I tell you, whoever receives one whom I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. But the word Eucharist does indeed mean thanksgiving, and it would be the height of ingratitude not for me to express my deep gratitude for the humbling and joyful privilege of being with you during these very sacred and very holy days. It has been a great joy and a gift to me to be able to share these days with you. I think it was Ulysses, the ancient one, not the one of James Joyce, who said, "I am a part of all that I have seen." And so I want you to know that a part of me takes a part of you back to America. And the part that is left of me with you, I pray, will be a continuing gift of God's love and grace in our lives. Well, no one would know or remember Daisy Bonner if she had not left a small mark of graffiti on the kitchen wall of a little white cottage in the hills of Georgia. It's known as the Little White House because it's the Georgia cottage to which Franklin Delano Roosevelt would escape to escape the pressures of the presidency and to find comfort and rest. And it was there that FDR died. Daisy was FDR's cook when he was in Georgia, and she was in the kitchen doing the ordinary work of an ordinary black cook, fixing the president's supper on April 12th in 1945 when the brain hemorrhage struck that would take the president's life. The only reason we know her name is because she took a wooden pencil and she scribbled these words on the kitchen wall. Daisy Bonner, cook the first and last one in this cottage for the President Roosevelt. Her mark is still there today, a mute witness to her love and service for the president. Now, to most folks, Daisy would have just been another black servant in the house, like so many black women of the time, doing the mundane work of cooking and cleaning. But when I read her words, it felt to me like I was hearing the voice of a woman who had found her identity, her value, her worth in what might be called the ministry of the mundane. Just an ordinary woman doing ordinary things, but to, in a way, quote Mother Teresa, doing simple things with great, great love. Now, under normal circumstances, it would have been a servant like Daisy who would have washed their feet when the guests came for dinner that night. Just the ordinary work of an ordinary servant, ordinarily the lowest servant in the house. So no wonder the disciples were absolutely shocked when Jesus, their master, their teacher, took off his robe of rabbi authority, laid it aside, wrapped himself in a towel, got down on his knees, and began washing their feet. No wonder Peter was embarrassed, appalled, mortified, perhaps even angered. No wonder he protested, "Lord, Lord, 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 no, you will never wash my feet." I suspect we will never really understand this story, never really get the point of what Jesus was doing, never really hear the call that he places on each of our lives until we can identify with Peter's discomfort, until we too are shocked, offended, surprised by the very idea that Jesus would stoop to take the role of the lowest servant in the house. Not until we say with Peter, "No, no, Lord, no, you'll never wash my feet." After all, this table included James and John, who saw themselves positioned on the right and left hand of Jesus, the ones who wanted to be great, the ones who first heard Jesus say, "I have not come to be served, but to serve." I'd submit to you that we'll we'll never really know what Jesus expects of us as his followers until we hear him in some deeply personal way. Unless I wash you, you will have no place with me. I have given you an example that you should do what I have done. Unless you lay aside your pride and your human arrogance, unless you strip off the external symbols of your authority, your power, your wealth, your position, until you get down on your knees and wash each other's feet, you will have no place with me. Just as I have done for you, you must also do. I have friends, I suspect you do too, brothers and sisters in Christ, who take this commandment very literally, and who tonight on Maundy Thursday will gather for service and practice the ancient rite of feet washing, washing each other's feet. It can be a beautiful and a powerful experience of worship. But I'm really convinced that Jesus' example, his commandment here, is not just about what we do with our feet. It's about what we do with our lives. It's not just about what we do in worship on Maundy Thursday. It's about what we do day in and day out in the way we think, the way we act, the way we relate to others, the way we live, the way we serve. Jesus' call for every disciple is to follow his example of faithful, humble servanthood in the ministry of the mundane. His challenge to every one of us is to enter into a life that reflects that servant life that he came to live and that he revealed so authentically, finding ways to do the small things, the ordinary things of life with extraordinary love, so that our living and our acting and our serving becomes a tangible human expression of the infinite love of God that became flesh in Jesus Christ. Isn't that what Paul was talking about in that letter to the Philippians? When he described the mind, the attitude, the spirit with which we followers of Christ should live in that second chapter of the letter to Philippians, where he says, if then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing of the Spirit, any compassion, any sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard each other as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient even to the point of death, even to a cross. You can't start any higher and end up any lower than that. And Paul says that's the same mind, the same spirit in which we are called to live, to practice the ministry of the mundane, to be men and women of Christ who do ordinary things with extraordinary love. In a culture that is often overly impressed with bigness, celebrity, headlines, sometimes the life of disciple servanthood looks mundane, ordinary. All of which brings me to one of my favorite poems. It's written by Bonaire Overstreet. The title is Stubborn Ounces. And I love the subtitle to the poem because I can identify with it so deeply. She wrote, "To one who doubts the worth of doing anything if you can't do everything." That might be many of us. And so she wrote, "You say the little efforts I make will do no good, that they will never prevail to tip the hovering scale where justice hangs in the balance. I don't think I ever thought they would. But I am prejudiced beyond debate as to my right to choose which side will feel the stubborn ounces of my weight." Sometimes all we have are stubborn ounces, the mundane, ordinary stuff of our lives. And yet, Jesus washing the disciples' feet, calling us to do as he has done, is the invitation for us to express that servant life of Jesus in the simple places, the mundane places, the ordinary places, where our lives become a tangible human expression of the infinite love of God that became flesh in Jesus Christ. So maybe Daisy got it right. Maybe she knew what Mother Teresa taught us. Maybe she discovered what it meant to do small things, ordinary things, with great love. And maybe that's what we're called to do as well. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead, the life of the world to come. Amen. Please kneel or sit, as your custom is to pray. Let us pray.
In the power of the Spirit, let us pray to the Father, through Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world. Father, on this, the night he was betrayed, your Son, Jesus Christ, washed the disciples' feet. We commit ourselves to follow the example of his love and service. Lord, hear us and humble us. On this night, he prayed for his disciples to be one. We pray for the unity of your church. Lord, hear us and unite us. On this night, he prayed for those who were to believe through his disciples' message. We pray for the mission of your church. Lord, hear us
and renew our zeal.
On this night, he commanded his disciples to love, but suffered rejection himself. We pray for the rejected and unloved. Lord, hear us
and fill us with your love.
On this night, he reminded his disciples that if the world hated them, it hated him first. We pray for those who are persecuted for their faith. Lord, hear us
and give us your peace.
On this night, he accepted the cup of death and looked forward to the new wine of the kingdom. We remember those preparing for death. Lord, hear us
and welcome all your children into paradise.
We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. We stand for the peace. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another." The peace of the Lord be always with you. Be present, Lord Jesus Christ, our risen High Priest. Make yourself known in the breaking of bread. Amen. Amen. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us celebrate the feast.
The Lord is here.
Your spirit is
with us. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father Almighty and ever-living God, at all times and in all places, it is right to give you thanks and praise. Through Jesus Christ our Saviour, who for the redemption of the world humbled himself to death on the cross, that being lifted up from the earth, he might draw all people to himself. And so with all your people, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed are you, Father, the creator and sustainer of all things. You made us in your own image. Male and female, you created us. Even when we turned away from you, you never ceased to care for us. But in your love and mercy, you freed us from the slavery of sin, giving your only begotten Son to become man and suffer death on the cross to redeem us. He made there the one complete and all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He instituted and in his holy gospel commanded us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks to you, he gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup, we do as Christ your Son commanded. We remember his passion and death, we celebrate his resurrection and ascension, and we look for the coming of his kingdom. Accept through him, our great High Priest, this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, and as we eat and drink these holy gifts, grant by the power of the life-giving Spirit that we may be made one in your holy church and partakers of the body and blood of your Son, that he may dwell in us and we in him. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen. As our Savior Christ has taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We be many are one body, for we all share in the one bread. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, who has taken away the sins of the world. Happy are those who are called to his supper. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and I shall be healed. All are welcome to come forward to receive the sacrament of Holy Communion. The choir and those in the first third of the congregation are invited to make your way to the sanctuary, and those in the remaining part of the congregation are invited to receive Holy Communion at the west end of the church. Body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. David, body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. Joe, body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, in this wonderful sacrament, you have given us a memorial of your passion. Grant us so to reverence the sacred mysteries of your body and blood, that we may know within ourselves the fruits of your redemption. For you are alive and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
be seated. Following the final scripture, the altar is going to be stripped, the lights are going to be dimmed, and then I invite all of us simply to remain in the church in the darkness as we reflect on the significance of this evening, and then in due course to make our way from St. Columba's out into the darkness in silence. When the disciples had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Jesus prayed to the Father, "If it is possible, take this cup of suffering from me." He said to his disciples, "How is it that you were not able to keep watch with me for 1 hour? The hour has come for the Son of Man to be handed over to the power of sinners."
Thank you.